I often jokingly called junior high students half animal, half human. Because they are a period of time in their life when just about everything is influenced by everything they do, speaking, doing things, and behaving. All of that is influenced by their friends. Are they not? And they are driven by their own unstable emotion without thought about the future. Nothing about the future. I was one of them about half century ago. That sounds old, really old. Thank you, Cindy, for your encouragement. During that difficult time, I was a bad boy. I threw a rock at one of my teacher's house window. Because a few days ago, before that happened, I was walking by him. He just slapped me across for no reason. Really, even now, 50 years later, I still cannot remember why. And it was so hard that I lost the balance. And he said something I could not hear because all I could feel that was a pain. So that was my revenge. I did that. I thought I got away. My daddy found out. And my daddy should have whacked me, but he didn't. He cried in front of me. That broke my heart. I learned a valuable lesson. If I'm going to do the bad thing again, don't get caught. No, that's not what I learned. I learned that my stupidity not only can damage me, it can hurt my parents. Let me put it in our term. If you are born again Christian, you realize that the correction does not stop with your earthly parents. Our Heavenly Father disciplined us so that we can share His holiness, because He loves us and wants the best for us. But unlike our parents, who may have punished us wrongly at a time, our Lord knows to chastise us for the right reason, in the right way, at the right time, and to the right degree. He never makes a mistake. He disciplines us to show His love for us. Go to Hebrews, keep your finger in the 1 Corinthians, go to Hebrews, turn to right, and right before the book of James, right after it, Titus, and I'm sorry, Philemon. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Verse 6. If you have a handout Bible, there's a page number for your convenience. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and the scourges every son whom He receives. If you are born again Christian, every son and daughters He received, He chastened to make us more like Jesus Christ. Amen. While with the authority of the apostle of Jesus Christ and the love of their spiritual father, Paul used his pen as a rod that corrects the wayward Corinthian Christians. We can read the stinging rebuke that they received and also see how it may apply to us today. You know, all the Bible knowledge we get from this Bible, if we don't apply into our own lives, it's nothing more than knowledge. Are you with me on that? You have to apply and you have to put it into practice. So whatever you learn, put it into practice. We will stop and pray. Father, Your chastening is absolutely perfect. Your punishment, Your correction, comes out of Your love. Father, we know that Sometimes we reject your correction. Sometimes we don't like what you do to us with the chastening. Let us see your heart, that we may see that love, deep, deep love, that cannot be measured with height, nor length, or nor depth, that unlimited love toward us through Jesus Christ. Let us see that, that we may receive your chastising with gladness, your correction with a grateful heart. Father, speak to us. Anoint our heart to receive your corrections and apply into our lives. Father, asking your anointing to be upon the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, we pray for the President Trump and the leaders in this country, whether they are local, state, and federal. Father, we are asking your hand to be upon them. This country is deeply divided by the ideologies. Father, asking you to speak to them, and they may see you, and they may know you, and they may come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way. Protect them, Lord. Keep them safe. Father, we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Last couple weeks have been horrible weeks for our law enforcement personnel. Many of our officers got shot and even killed. Comfort their families, comfort their friends, and protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 6. Second half of verse 6 in 1 Corinthians, please. You may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did not indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Stop there, please. Ever since postmodern psychologists rattled their mouth about child esteem, have you guys heard about it, child esteem? Yes? No? Many of the Christian psychologists jumped on the bandwagon. One of the things they reject is a spanking to children. They claim that spanking children destroy the child esteem. But according to the Bible, let me say, put it this way, not my opinion, according to what the Bible says. In the book of Proverbs, it says otherwise. Who should I believe, some psychologist or the Bible? Okay, I know some of you are thinking, I don't know where he's come up with that kind of idea. Good, since you don't trust me, go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, please. You didn't think that I would back it up, right? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. You there yet? He who spares his rod hates his son, and he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Okay, we need to be careful with our discipline. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, if you're angry with a child, that's not the time for you to discipline the child. You have to give a right amount of discipline to that child. If child spilled the milk, that's an accident. Don't discipline the child. If he look at you and push the cup and spill the cup, yeah, that's a different story. That's daring. Defilement. Oh, child do that. Don't ever think the child would not do that. I learned that from my three-year-old grandson who will graduate from the terrible to the devilish three now. Remember, Bible is not condoning abusing the child, but disciplining the child is a different story. The apostle lands his verbal and spiritual rod on the Corinthians behind, so that they might learn not to think beyond what is written in the gospel, that none of them may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. That was the problem with the church division. The Corinthian congregation that had heard the gospel from Paul and were saved by Christ, the Messiah, and were taught by Paul and Apollos, but they were acting as if their salvation comes from their teachers by associating with them. Do you know what I'm talking about? By they associate with these teachers, they are the one who is getting this salvation. They are thinking they are the one who is causing the salvation. It's nothing more than self-glorifying pride. Let's go back to this text, verse 8, please. You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, less as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. And you are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Can you feel the sarcasm just dripping here? It's a holy sarcasm, I guess. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed and beaten, homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endured, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and offscouring of all things until now. Stop there again, please. The Apostle Paul punctured the inflated ego balloon of the Corinthian church with irony. Though the Apostle Paul was using strong sarcasm, his purpose isn't to make the fun of the Corinthian people. His purpose is to shake them out of their prideful thinking. This was the crux of the whole matter. The Christian in Corinth wanted the honor that comes from men, not the honor that comes from God. They were trying to borrow glory by associating themselves with the quote-unquote great men, the teachers. That's why I'm with the Apollos, I'm with the Paul, I'm with the Cephas, I'm with the Jesus. They are dividing church. There's no place for pride in the ministry. Let me say it one more time. There's no place for pride in the ministry. It is a terrible thing in the Christian life and in the church. Church congregation is wrong if they measure their pastor in any other than the standard of what God has given us. And they are also wrong when they boast about their favorite preacher. This is not to say that the faithful servant cannot be recognized and honored, but in all things, God must be glorified. In this church, one person must be glorified, that's Jesus Christ. No one else. In the big mega church, there is only one person should be glorified. That's God. That's why I have a really problem with the worship concerts, quote-unquote worship concert. In big worship concert, there's all this light and the laser and the smoke and all that stuff. And by the time you look at it carefully, you examine carefully, who is being glorified? The singers, not Jesus Christ. Even though they say, "We worship you, Jesus," in their lyrics, A lot of times they are not worshiping Jesus. The adoration goes to the singers. One time I was watching this pastor from Australia, has a humongous church. As he's coming out from the back of the stage, smoke was coming out with a blue light. It's like, what's this? And besides, they don't have a light for the congregation. If you don't have a light, how are you going to look at your Bible? Some people like to dim the church light. Unless you have a night vision goggle, you ain't going to read the text. Unless you have eyes of an owl, you ain't going to read the text. And somebody's going to say, who? Folks, listen up. Don't come here to hear from the pastor. Come here to hear from God. Amen. Only one person get the glory. Amen? In verse 9, Greek word spectacle is theatron, from which we get the English word theater. It's obvious, right? The image of verse 9 is from the parade of a conquering Roman general, where he displayed his army first, and the booties from the war second. At the end of procession, the defeated captives, either they will be killed in the arena, or they will be sold as slaves on the slave trading block. According to the world standard, Apostle Paul was a fool. Full for Christ. If he had remained as a Jewish rabbi, he could have attained the greatest height in Jewish religion as a chief of the Sanhedrin, easily. Or had he resided with the Jewish legalists in Jerusalem church, not ministered to the Gentile, he could have avoided a great deal of persecution. But the Lord called him to be apostle for Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. And he left everything because to him, everything was rubbish. And nobody used the word rubbish. Go to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, please. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may what? Gain Christ. The things you lose for Christ, you gain in Christ. Paul's description of his own ministry focuses on deprivation and humiliation. Paul does not defend himself by his success. Rather, he defends himself by his suffering. These were the things that the Corinthian Christians, in their pride, wanted to avoid at all cost. Today, the church is heavy with the same attitude as the Corinthian Christians, who were concerned about the image of the world's success and power. Many of them despised Paul and the other apostles because they did not display that image. Today, there is no shortage of pastors who want to display the image of worldly success, the power, and no shortage of Christians who value that in their pastors. There was a good brother up in Peoria, Arizona, Northern Phoenix. This particular church has about 15,000 congregation in different campuses. He, great brother, and he said, it's great because we add 2,000 people more in our congregation in different campuses. Number doesn't mean anything, folks. If that was the case, Jesus would have kept the numbers high. If that was the case, Apostle Paul, in his knowledge and capability, he would keep the number high. Jesus sent them back. Did you notice? Because people are not trustworthy. People are shallow. People, as long as they are comfortable, they will treat you well. Until something comes too close to their comfort zone, then they will turn on your back. They turn the back on you. I often said, going from the penthouse to the outhouse takes about 2 seconds. Listen carefully, please. Faithfulness in service and humbleness of mind are two important characteristics of a minister of Jesus Christ. He must be fulfilling work and willing to suffer. It is one thing to be faithful, quite another to be popular. Somebody said, if you want to be a popular, preach to happiness. But if you want to be unpopular, preach the holiness of God. In their love for Greek wisdom, embracing Greek idea, manual labor was fit for only for the slaves. And tolerating slander with kindness is beyond their idea. It offends the Corinthian Christians that one of the God's apostles actually worked with his own hand. And you may say, what are you talking about? Apostle Paul had a job, actually, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 5 job, that kind of like that, tent-making job. In other words, he could be a Federal Express driver, or he could be a mechanic, or he could be a cop, or he could be a doctor. And on the side, he worked as a pastor and evangelist. To the Greek Christians, that's a beyond. In their mind, Paul was a wimp, not worthy of a spiritual, not to be called as a spiritual teacher. Here's the term that we are now familiar with, that we just read, obscuring of all things. Some ancient Greek had a custom casting their idea of worthless people into the sea during the time of a plague or famine. While they're saying, be our offscouring. The victims were called scraping in the belief that they would wipe away the community's guilt. It's a nice way to say human sacrifice. Verse 14, please. I do not write this thing to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, and who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Stop there again. I've never used illegal drugs in my life. Oh, I had many opportunities presented to me. When I was in a fine arts college student in Seoul, South Korea, many of them have pretty much stoned the entire school year because they are artists. Yeah. I have no idea what it's like to be on high. Really, I really don't know. And they said, that those who use the drug said, it's the best feeling. You fly high somewhere, you have no idea where you're going, only problem is they do crash and burn when the effect of the drug is gone. But I do know about the spiritual high. When do I get to have a spiritual high? I get to have a great opportunity, privilege of witnessing to someone. And that person says, yes, I'd like to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. I'm on cloud nine. You cannot pull me down. That's the best feeling I will ever get. And I become their spiritual father. To some of you, there are several of you here, I am your spiritual father. That's a special privilege. I said carefully, I do not have authority over you, like an apostle Paul has. He's an apostle, he's a different category. But as a spiritual father, I have that special relationship with you. Paul had a unique place of authority and leadership among the Corinthian Christians, not only because he fathered the church itself in Corinth, but also because of his apostolic authority. We don't have apostolic authority like this man. Leading someone to Christ does not give us special authority over their lives, but it gave us special relationship. It is important to note that Paul did not take a credit for the conversion. Their spiritual birth was in Christ through the gospel. Sinners are born again through the ministry of the Spirit of God and through the Word of God. Paul was the father who stood by and assisted at their birth. When you came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I simply introduce you to Christ. I point you to the cross. That's all I did. And the Holy Spirit did all, everything. When I read verse 16, therefore I urge you, imitate me. For the first time in late 1980s, I thought Paul was an arrogant snob. How dare he say that, imitate me. You know what? I was ignorant snob. I didn't know. This man lived the life that we represent. He was following Jesus Christ. Remember this. During that time, they did not have this book. They did not have a printing machine. They did not print out from the laser inkjet printer. They did not have a Bible. Apostle Paul was a walking Bible. They saw this man, how he represented Jesus Christ, and he was the people were reading his life. Let me ask you this question. When your family member, when your family members, when your co-worker sees you, do they see Jesus? Ouch, right? Do they see Jesus when you strike your thumb with a hammer? Or something bad happened to you? How do they see Jesus in you? When something bad happened to you, you don't cuss, you don't rant and rave, you don't throw a temper tantrum, and you hold your peace and trust God, then they see Jesus in you. We must not think that Paul was exalting himself. Little children learn first by example, then by explanation. When Paul pastored the church in Corinth, he set the example before them in love, devotion to Christ, sacrifice and service. He was a good example because he was following the greatest example of all, Jesus Christ. Go down to verse 18, please. Now some of you puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly. If the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, or in a spirit of gentleness? Remember the time when you were a kid, you did something bad, and your mom said, wait until your dad comes home. And all of a sudden you think, oh, the end of the world just came crashing down on you, and you feel like you're going to be the dead meat. Have you felt that way? How many of you guys felt that way before? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one. The Apostle Paul told the mischievous Corinthian Christians that he's coming to discipline them. No one in this congregation was laughing by now when this letter was read. They remember him performing the miracle. God was working through him. Sick people rise up, get healed, and things happening left and right when Apostle Paul was there for a year and a half. And they realized this man is coming back with the full authority as the apostle. We're going to be dead meat. Now they are scared. Listen to me, please. A faithful parent must discipline one's children. It's not enough to teach them, be an example before them. He or she must also punish them when they rebel, refuse to obey. Paul leaves the ball in their court to the Corinthian people. There is no doubt that Paul preferred to come in gentleness. He will leave that decision up to the Corinthian church people. Paul is facing some of the greatest challenges of his ministry, how to confront sin without being too harsh or implying that you are above sin, and how to get the people to confirm their lives to the gospel when they think too highly of themselves. This is a great work. This is a great work only by the Holy Spirit can be accomplished. As he preparing this portion, he's preparing it for the chapter 5 and chapter 6, where he's going to deal with the church disciplines. I'll say it again. Nowadays, there are many churches out in the United States. Even here, you can just drive down to the La Cunada. We call it Church Row. There are about 6-7 churches out there before you get to the Duval Mine Road. You try to discipline a person in the church, bless you, then they go to another church. That's why the many pastors shy away from the church discipline. If you noticed, any of you are the member of the Calvary Chapel of Sarita? Raise your hand. Are you a actual member of a Calvary Chapel? Any of you guys have the signed the paper membership?
No.
You know why we don't have a membership in our church? Show me where in the Bible it has a membership in the church. Do you see anywhere? Only reason why the church come up with a membership is so they can collect the tithe and offerings. If it's not in here, we don't do it. If you come here more than twice, guess what? Dude, you're a member. If I see you doing wrong things, I'll talk to you. I don't care if you don't like it. I'm not here for the popular vote anyway. We will talk about church discipline and thinking, okay, I'm not going to the church next week or next following week. Shouldn't you learn? Good or bad? It's not easy thing to be a representative of Jesus Christ. You must be faithful to your master no matter what men say to you or do to you. You will be treated as a refuse by the people of the world. Stay focused on it, on Him. Two applications. Number one, there is no place for pride in the ministry. It is a terrible thing in the Christian life and in the church. Stay humble. Stay humble. If you've been thinking that you are cat meow to God's eyes, surprise, you ain't. Okay? You haven't cornered on heaven. Calvary Chapel people haven't cornered heaven. There are many churches out there are wonderful, and there are many pastors who are great Bible teachers. They have equal treatment like you. Billy Graham get treated just like the one on the cross who could not do anything other than simple trust to Jesus. Remember me when you get into the kingdom. Second application. It is not easy thing to be a representative of Jesus Christ. You must be faithful to your master no matter what men say to you or do to you. You will be treated as a refuse by the people of the world. Stay focused on Jesus. Amen.